Our scripture today is from the book of 2 Corinthians, chapter 4, verse 13 to 5:1. You're welcome to follow along up on the screen or through your pew Bible, or if you have a Bible at home. Before we read this, let's pray. Lord Jesus, we thank you for the love which you have freely given to us each day. We thank you, Lord, that you have given to us your word, a lamp unto our feet, a light unto our path, to help us traverse this journey that we're on here on earth. We thank you for your presence and for helping us along, for picking us up, for encouraging us. And we pray that as we read your word, we hear what it is that you have for us. Our hearts and minds, we pray, are open to receive your mercies. We also pray for your mercies to be upon the sermon, that it too might be glorifying to you and used for your purposes. We thank you for your great love, and we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 13 to 5:1. Hear now God's word. But just as we have the same spirit of faith that is in accordance with Scripture, I believed, and so I spoke. We also believe, and therefore we also speak, because we know that the one who raised Jesus will also raise us with Jesus and will present us with you in his presence. Indeed, everything is for your sake, so that grace, when it has extended to more and more people, may increase thanksgiving to the glory of God. So we do not lose heart. Even though our outer nature is wasting away, our inner nature is being renewed day by day. For our slight momentary affliction is producing for us an eternal weight of glory beyond all measure. Because we look not at what can be seen, but at what cannot be seen. For what can be seen is temporary, but what cannot be seen is eternal. For we know that if the earthly tent we live in is destroyed, we have a building from God, a house not made with hands, eternal in the heavens. This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. There is a really fun phrase that I've heard growing up time and time and time again. On sitcoms, on dramas, on dramedies, in books. And I've seen evidence of it time and time and time again. So I'm going to give you an example of the phrase, and you tell me what phrase you think I'm referring to. You have a 40, 45, 50-year-old person on the street driving a Lamborghini. Okay? Any idea yet what phrase I might be thinking of? Midlife crisis. Yes. And maybe sitting in the Lamborghini next to them is a 20, 23-year-old woman, or they bought a giant house. Now, what exactly is a midlife crisis? A midlife crisis is when you realize the truth, and it is truth, it's factual, you're not making it up, and it's something we're usually afraid to talk about, but there's no getting around it. You realize the truth, which is you have lived more than you're going to live. You realize that the largest part of your life is behind you, and you're not sure, you know, how much life you have left. And that scares you. It scares me on occasion. You know, who knows when this time on earth is going to end. And it makes us a bit nervous. So midlife crisis, what do we do about it? We try to enjoy life to its fullest. What does that mean? Buying stupid things. Buying things we think will make us happy. They're not always stupid. I'm sorry. That was commentary unnecessary. Because maybe a Lamborghini is not stupid. They're really nice cars, and they make really nice sounds when you step on that gas pedal. You know, that's a lot of fun to listen to. I saw one of the saddest videos in the entire world. Now, I like nice cars as much as the average person. My problem is when I see Lamborghini, I think insurance, and that really makes it not as pretty anymore. But there was this guy, I don't know what city it was, he had just bought a Lamborghini. He was driving it through the streets, and he was stuck in traffic, and he was revving that engine because, boy, that sounds good. You know, and it started, he was really revving it, and the engine caught on fire. And the person who was behind him got out of his truck, and he went, and he said, hey, your car's on fire. And the guy got out of the car, and then everyone just sat there and watched the Lamborghini burn to the ground. Which reminds me that Lamborghinis, like most other things we place our confidence in or things that we find our joy in, are indeed temporary. They come and they go. You enjoy them for time being as much as you can, and then they're not going to last. In fact, the Bible has a very interesting metaphor for this about our life, because the truth is that our time on earth is limited. It's not going to last. And the Bible's metaphor that it uses over and over and over again about this are flowers. Now, this is beautiful. To be standing in the middle of this field, looking almost to the horizon as this field of flowers just stretches for seemingly miles. It's a gorgeous thing. One of the flowers that I think look the most beautiful in springtime is a flowering bush, the rhododendron. When that thing flowers, it is beautiful. But it reminds me of like a slow motion bomb. You have this beautiful green bush. And then it just, like one day, you go to bed, and then you wake up, and boom, it's flowered, and it's beautiful. And then 2 weeks later, it explodes again, and all of those petals are all over your yard. And it's not pretty anymore. It's a mess that you got to clean up. The rhododendron is indeed quite beautiful, but the beauty of the rhododendron, as these flowers in this field, it doesn't last. It's here for a moment and gone the next. And in fact, when we read the Bible about human life, they compare it to the beauty of the flower, where it is indeed beautiful, but temporary. A moment. Blink of the eye when you compare to the entire history of Earth. In fact, we have another thing for this that's not necessarily in the Bible specifically, but the sermon title, the dash. Where have you seen a dash before when we talk about the impermanence of life here on Earth? On a gravestone. Now, this isn't my illustration. I've heard this illustration time and time before. That when you get a gravestone, you got the birth, the dash, the death. And the dash is the life. Seemingly small and insignificant, but yet it's not insignificant at all. And in terms of length, one never knows, except we know people who have used what time they have so very well. And we know that life that they had, though in the grand scheme of things, was short, it was done so well, so significant, that the love that they lived is in our lives, and we share that love with one another, and so on and so forth. My grandmother, because she lived longer, lived to the age of 88. She touched my life in so many wonderful ways. I got so many great memories from her. Part of my characteristics of who I am come from her. And then there's my son who died after 9 days. His life was extremely short, except it changed my life. It showed me how important life is, how fleeting life is. It showed me that life, even for a moment, is precious. Getting to hold him was one of the greatest memories that I have. Watching him pass is one of the worst, but it helped me be who I am today. What we do with that little dash, with that brief moment, is so important. And when we look at our scripture today, Paul, who is in prison right now under house arrest, probably going towards execution, is not worried about the execution. He understands that his life is probably, his days are probably numbered. He himself is getting older. His eyesight's probably not very good at this point. And he can't do all the things that he used to because he can't get around. But he says this, "Indeed, everything that we do is for you, because what we have and what we're promised is right now. And we work so that you might live, so that you might know Christ, so that grace, when it has extended to more and more people, may increase thanksgiving to God's glory." So we don't lose heart, no matter what's going on in our life. And there's a lot that can go on in our lives. There's sickness. There's accidents. There's firings. There's hirings. There's babies. There's funerals. There's weddings. There's divorces. There's so much that can go on in our life. But we don't lose heart. Even though our outer nature is wasting away, our inner nature is being renewed day by day. For our slight momentary affliction is producing for us an eternal weight of glory beyond all measure. Thing is, the reason why I love this scripture so much is it's because I feel so small. So often in my life, I feel so small, so insignificant. There's so many things going on in this life, wars and famine and division, and I feel like I can't change anything. What can I do? And as I get older and older, and I know you chuckle, some of you, because I'm not that old, and I'm not that old. But I am at that phase in life where when I go to sleep healthy, I wake up hurting, and I don't understand how that happens. But even though I'm here, I need to remember whose I am. I need to remember that the life that I live here on earth is just but a small portion of it. And that if God is able to use something as insignificant as a few loaves of bread and a few fish in order to feed a great multitude of people, God can use me. If God can use the flowers of the field to bring beauty and joy to other people, though they're there only about a couple weeks, Scripture says, we're greater than that field. God can use us to bring peace, hope, and love. We may not be able to solve the world's problems, but what God has given to us is the ability to love one another, and that will help somebody's problems. God didn't put me or you on earth to solve everything. God put me and you on earth to take the time that we had to love as much as we can, to give as much as we can, to trust as much as we can. Paul did what he could, knowing that whatever he received here on earth, heaven had so much better. The things that we have to look forward to are greater, way greater than what this earth has. But let's do the best we can with what we got until God calls us home. Because then maybe someone else will get to experience that great joy too. And I thank God for that. Close today with this final prayer. God, it is true that no eye has seen nor ear has heard what wonderful things you hold in store for your children. Yet in these moments with you, we have seen more clearly and listened more deeply, and we give you thanks. Amen and amen. Go in peace.